All right, real quick, because I have 20 seconds left. I totally forgot. This is WMFO in Medford. Please tune in next week, 4 o'clock. Charlie MGH, thank you so much. Turning it over to Helen now. Get ready for an awesome show. Stick around. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm out.
Helps keep everyone connected. Right now at
AT&T. My generation, baby. My generation, baby.
Most people think I said driving a potato with the burnt out fuse. I always get people saying, what do you mean by driving a potato with the burnt out?
Left the scene and the boys just standing there alone, looking at the shiny red tractor. But him and his daddy used to sit inside and circle the blue fields and grease the night. It was as if someone had spread butter on all the fine points of the stars, cause when he looked up they started to slip. And then he put his head in the crooks of his arms and he started to sun burn around his lids, and his eyes were like two suns. White lids, white opal, seeing everything just a little bit too clearly. And he looked around and there was no black ship in sight, no black funeral cars, nothing except for him. Raven fell on his knees, looked up and cried out. and the birds around the New England farm, and they gathered in all directions like roses they scattered, and they were like compass grass coming together into the head of a shaman bouquet. Lit in his nose and all the others went shooting, and he saw the lights of traffic begging at him like that. Hands of Blake grabbing at his cheeks, taking at his neck, all his limbs, everything was twisted, and he said, ah, stretch the sky, pushing it all out like Lake Dex cartoon. Am I all alone? This generation will just be dreaming of automation night and day. It won't let up, won't let up. And I see them coming in. Oh, I couldn't hear them before, but I hear them now. It's a radar scope and a little sonar, platinum lights moving in like black ships. Then we're moving in streams of them. Put up his hands and he said, it's me, it's me. I'll give you my eyes, take me up. Oh, now please take me up. I'm helium, raving, wait for you. Please take me up. Don't leave me here. The sun, the sign, the cross, like the shape of a tortured woman, the true shape of a tortured woman. The mother standing in the doorway, letting the sons no longer presidents, but prophets. They're all dreaming, they're gonna bear the prophet. He's gonna run through the fields, dreaming an animation. It's all gonna split his skull. It's gonna come out like a black bouquet, shining like a fist that's gonna shoot him up like Muhammad Boxa. Take him up, 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 up. Coagulated like a river of glass. When it hardened, he looked at the surface. He saw his face, and where their eyes were just two white opals. Two white opals. Where their eyes, there were just two white opals. And he looked up, and the rays shat, and he saw Raven coming in. Crawled on his back, and he went up.
Shattered away. Shattered away. Hey, kids.
Hey, how you doing? It's welcome back to the show. Missed you guys since spring break happened. A lot of crazy things happening there.
It's actually the inspiration for today's show, the faux pas episode. For all of that's you non-French right. speakers, that's the Fox Pass episode.
Absolutely.
So, Kevin, first we should start off with the definition of a faux pas for all of our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with pressure-filled social settings like we are.
Yeah, I mean the faux pas, I mean the Fox Pass, really just, you know, it's a pas de deux, you know. It's mm-hmm. really a two-step process.
Yeah.
First you gotta screw up.
Yep.
And then you have to
Well, I would say the first step is really being in a situation in which there is a potential.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. And then the second step is actually executing the faux pas.
Exactly. And which has to be unwitting, because if you intentionally commit a faux pas, it's actually, that's just a rebellion.
Exactly. That's just postmodern, faux pas correct.
Exactly. A vrai pas.
A vrai pas. Absolutely. So we do have some, oh my God. What's wrong with these headphones?
I don't know. I think you're using the wrong one. Oh, no, you're not. Those are the right ones. I don't know. What's wrong with them, Kevin?
It's okay. So for these kids out there that just came back from spring break, welcome back. Helen and myself, we took a trip down to the Music City.
Mm-hmm.
Montreal, Tennessee. Great, great place.
The Nashville of Quebec.
Yeah. I've been heard that it's been called the Boston of New England, but that's, you know, that is a controversial claim.
Yeah, a claim that you actually made in a coffee shop there, and to much more positive reaction than I had expected.
I mean, they loved it.
They loved it. They j'adored it.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that speaks a lot to the Canadian mentality, which is they really just, you know, they're just so Boston.
Yeah.
Gold Pats, mm. you know.
Exactly. But back to what a faux pas is. So you've made the situation.
You know, a faux pas is like, it's like very, like new money behavior. That is absolute faux pas.
Thus the French wording.
Exactly.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's just ostentatious displays of wealth. Faux pas.
Yeah, really.
Faux pas.
So we'll be you know, listing some examples of faux pas later in the show. Yeah. But
like jumping into a cold bath at the spa.
Yeah.
Faux pas.
Big time FP.
Yes. Hitting your head in the steam bath. Faux pas. Not getting a facial.
Big absolute time faux pas. Failing to go to a strip club.
Yes, that too. Faux pas. Failing to take out cash before you travel abroad.
Major faux pas.
You know, it's hard out there.
It is. It's
really
difficult.
Hard out there. It's hard to be.
So you can't beat yourself up too much for, you know, committing a faux pas. But, you know, I think my favorite coping mechanism for dealing with faux pas.
Shopping,
number one. But
faring du shoppings.
Yeah, some faire du shopping. But number two, I think, is I try to imagine that situation as I'll retell it in my comedian's autobiography when I'm 50. And then when I've told the story to everyone, it'll be completely validated and they'll say, what a funny person. Not a faux pas in the least.
Absolutely. So we got some tunes for you today, kids.
We do.
We got some Madonna coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First The Pretenders.
By Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, great band.
Okay. Think about your
faux pas.
Your faux pas that you've
reflect
committed.
On them.
Reflect on them. Ponder,
meditate,
pray. This is Tufts Aesthetics on WMFO.
Yeah.
Here's The Pretenders.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
places. My city had been pulled down, reduced to parking spaces. Hey, oh, where to go, Ohio?
So, we've consulted with some experts on faux pas while we were playing that music. So, that's why it was such a long music break there.
Yeah, this show has been sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, mm-hmm. as well as the Pew Charitable Trusts.
Yes.
And
thank you to
viewers
our sponsors.
Like you who've been donating to
who've
our
been donating to our faux pas bank.
Exactly. So for those of us here at National Public Radio, we'd like to thank you for supporting our research. And I think we've really been trying to take this time to really define, you know, what constitutes a faux pas. And there's so many types. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there's faux pas in the traditional sense.
Right, like an etiquette
exactly,
faux pas.
Exactly, you know,
so, you
like
know,
for example, using the salad fork to eat your entree.
I was just going to say that one.
Such a faux pas.
Or actually one that I witnessed across the table from me multiple times this weekend in Montreal, using your left hand to drink out of your cup and then keeping it on your left side on the table. No.
Or stuffing pita bread into your mouth with your hands.
What?
While savagely dipping the sauce.
I would say the manner of that would be a faux pas, but actually bread is a finger food in traditional etiquette, as is asparagus. Yes.
Not in the early 21st century. It's not.
Well, the early 21st century etiquette actually.
I mean, it really originates from the Great Schism.
Well, it underwent a big change that had been sort of underground since the Great Schism. So, in traditional etiquette, the two actually are finger foods, and then, you know, the Great Schism had briefly brought up the issue of using silverware, but it sort of bubbled under the surface for a while after that before it actually came to academic recognition in the early 21st century.
Absolutely. But I think what it is that you see people don't realize that, you know, etiquette has really been split into two schools ever since 2001, which is the traditional schools of etiquette, you know, cotillion, and postmodern cotillion.
Yeah.
And ever since then, you know, etiquette has really just changed. I mean, do we even, like, what is a salad fork? What is an entree fork?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what is a fork?
Great question. Great
and
question.
And so, you know, the rise of sporks is really, you know.
And that brings us to a new category of a faux pas, which is the postmodern faux pas. And we've been, you know, like I said, collecting. So this is one bank account in the Faux Pas Bank of America. So the first one that we came across was using Facebook as intended. So
or just social media as intended.
Exactly. For example, putting a status about where you're going to college or how you're blessed to study abroad next year on Facebook. It's a faux pas because...
Faux pas.
You know, you're using social media to further your social presence, but... How can you do that if your presence looks the same as everybody else's? And I think that that's a big faux pas. Because, you know, I don't... Just tell people in a note if they really care that much.
I mean, you know, Facebook these days, it's really a platform for memes. So.
Exactly. And I think a big faux pas is to forget that. But then in the other direction, it's a faux pas. To overdo that and overdo the irony, which mm-hmm, has been mm-hmm. such a big part
which brings
of postmodern
us to our second,
culture.
Which brings us to our second faux pas. Overuse of irony.
Exactly.
Heavy-handed irony.
Heavy-handed irony is a big faux pas as a heavy-handed handful of cocktail shrimp.
Exactly. With
One
no
at a
sauce.
Time. Mm.
Absolutely.
Ugh. I shiver at the thought.
Like for the traditional analogy of this is like the guy... You know, at the cocktail party, that's so afraid that the cocktail shrimp is going to run out that he actually grabs fistfuls at a time.
Can you imagine?
We don't like that.
Speaking of more,
it's new money.
Traditional
behavior.
Situation faux pas, Kevin. How about we tell everyone about your faux pas, your faux spas, if you will.
I mean, you know, I have to say, in honor of Easter. Or as they like to say in Montreal, Bacchus.
Le Bac.
I had a holy trinity of faux pas when Montreal. We actually we attended the
How
spa.
How fitting on the triduum.
I'd like to make a quick shameless plug for Boda Boda Spa sur l'eau. in Montreal. It is in the Old Port. It is a spa that is on a converted boat. Now in this spa, I performed three faux pas, somewhat similar to how Napoleon committed three faux pas. One, the continental system, two, the invasion of Russia, and three, you know, Waterloo. I first bumped my head on the roof of the steam bath.
It's true. It was
terrifying.
It really was. It couldn't.
But also absolutely, absolutely hilarious.
It was very funny.
My second was jumping into the cold bath and proceeding to splash ice cold water onto old women everywhere, who quickly recoiled.
Very quickly.
The sensation of ice cold water. And my third was not getting a facial, because as we all know, going to the spa and not getting a facial is like going to China and eating Chipotle. Why would you ever do that? Would you ever do that?
So
you know?
Exactly.
You just have to do it.
So some other faux pas that we thought of, Hillary Clinton's entire campaign.
Oof. But surprisingly not Donald Trump's. You would think that Donald Trump's campaign has just been a campaign of faux pas, but it's actually so postmodern that they've all been
correct. It's so
intentional.
See, that's the thing, is that a faux pas, if it's intentional, it's some kind of rebellion or a stance. It's a faux pas.
It's a faux pas.
So unfortunately, we're really seeing that schism.
And for those of you in academia, a common faux pas that we run into is the overpronunciation of foreign names in their appropriate accents, but extremely overdone.
Le nom étranger.
Exactement.
Comme
for example,
ça.
Like when you're talking to, let's say, a Uruguayan scholar who's not Uruguayan at all. They just go to Tufts and, you know, studied abroad in Uruguay for 3 months. And you're like, oh, what do you like to read? And they go, well, I'm really into reading Gabriel García Márquez on the weekends, because it's like he's just like such a talented author, and sometimes I like to read Isabel Allende. We don't do that
big time faux pas.
Or like when you're talking about Michel Foucault, please don't say Michel Foucault, just say Foucault.
Although a suggestion for something that would be not a faux pas, we actually made, this was sort of a vrai pas that came out of a faux pas. Our friend Miller was getting his hair cut, and his barber told him about a bar called Furcot. And Miller, in a classic Miller trail poop move, said, oh, this must be a bar based on Michel Foucault that you're supposed to wear fur coats to. And we looked it up, hoping this was the case. Turns out it wasn't.
Miller, you're live on 91.5 FM, WMFO.
Oh, I was just hearing about Napoleon's three faux pas.
I mean, would you agree that he made three faux pas?
I don't know if the continental system was a faux pas per se, but absolutely the invasion of Russia.
Oh, big time. I would say that's not even a faux pas, just a mistake.
Yeah.
It's just a mistake.
I mean, I remember when I was in high school, my biggest faux pas was I referred to Napoleon's crucial victory at Auschwitz as crucial for his victory. I was actually trying to refer to Austerlitz, but...
You really messed up.
Yeah, I did mess up. My high school Latin teacher had an entire binder full of faux pas. This is a shout out to Richard Jekyll. If you're listening out there from Natick High School, terrible. What did I also refer to as a faux pas? What else was a faux pas? Miller, do you have any faux pas for us?
Yeah, actually, I just came from trying to break down one of the little toilet paper covers in the Edickman lobby because I'm out of toilet paper in my apartment.
So oh, what a faux pas!
I was trying to kick it down so I could steal it from the theater department, and I realized in the middle of doing that it's so bad.
I think that the bigger faux pas there is trying to steal one ply.
Yeah, I think your choice of quality is the faux pas there, not necessarily the act of stealing.
Yeah, not necessarily the execution of your of your stealing. Not the act itself.
You should be stealing it from a staff bathroom.
Exactly. Or like, like one of those locked ones.
Well, I'd like to find a compromise because I found myself at Whole Foods earlier today and I didn't want to buy toilet paper from Whole Foods. So I just need to find the middle ground, you know?
That's news to me. Do they now sell organic toilet paper at Whole Foods?
Unbleached, also known as cardboard.
Is it made from elephant poop?
I need to go do some homework, but I'll see you soon.
Okay, we'll see you at dinner. Miller Schulman, everybody.
Thank you, Miller.
A recurring guest in our show. What a great guy. I mean, he's done some beautiful work recently.
That's true.
For those of you who don't know, he actually co-wrote the musical Alexander Burr with
Madeline Doctor.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually been on Broadway for quite some time now as a number one. I'm almost positive that it's going to win the Tony for Best Musical.
The Toni Morrison Award.
Yeah. The Toni Morrison for Best Musical of the Year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some great songs.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Alexander Burr, he actually had this ongoing feud with the Treasury Department, uh-huh. The United States Treasury, and the Secretary. His name was Aaron Hamilton or something like that. Yeah, so great, great musical. What was it called?
What was the musical called? The Faux Pas of National Banking.
Was it just called Van Buren?
No, I think it was Polk.
Polk.
It's just called Polk.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Van Buren, though, Faux Pas, Panic of 1837, huge faux pas.
Oh.
Terrible, terrible.
I don't even like to think about it.
Almost as bad as dying in office.
Yeah, talk about a faux pas there.
Yeah, like Henry Harrison, jeez. Ugh.
Yeah, there's been a lot of presidential faux pas. One of the most recent, Iraq.
Iraq, oh God.
Talk about a faux pas.
Yeah, seriously. Talk about a faux pas.
Yeah.
Mission incomplete.
Bay of Pigs.
Bay of Pigs, huge faux pas.
Number one, probably, I think.
Vietnam.
Ooh, you're telling me.
Some might even say Korea faux pas. For those of you with more recent memories, the younger ones out there, like the ones born after 1999, you may remember Grenada. Huge faux pas.
Ernest Hemingway.
Oh God.
What a faux pas.
But you know who was really ahead of his times though? E.E. Cummings.
Exactly. He was
postmodern.
The leader of the Vrijpaw movement, in literature.
Yeah. Some of you might know the Vrijpaws as Dada.
Mm.
But they were actually, in their own circles, they actually referred to themselves as the Vrijposites.
You're right.
The Vrijposites.
Actually, what is that poem by Hugo Ball, Caravan?
Hugo Boss?
Yeah, Hugo Boss, the well-known Dada artist.
I do know the poem. It's called The Wasteland, right?
Yeah, you think it's all gibberish, but it's actually just every indigenous Russian language... language's word for faux pas.
Yes, yes, which is...
Our Romantic and Germanic ears don't pick up on the Finno-Ugric and other...
hints of other dialects.
Language families, but...
The phonetics.
It actually is just faux pas over and over and over again.
Very postmodern.
Exactly. Very Dada.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, E.E. Cummings actually inspired Allen Ginsberg to write his famous poem. What was it called? Howl.
Mm-hmm.
At the Moon.
Yeah. Hatchet. Yeah.
Hatchet, yes.
By Allen Ginsberg.
Allen Ginsberg. Great novel series. Love that. Mm-hmm. Also, Allen Ginsberg wrote the Magic School Bus series.
Yeah.
Another
not
well-known fact.
His best friend, Michel Foucault, wrote The Phantom Tollbooth.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, Foucault, in a... twist of irony.
But not heavy-handed.
He actually used to wear a faux fur coat.
He did.
Yeah. And he would call himself
Furcoat.
He would call himself Michel
Furcoat.
Yeah.
I could laugh for hours about that one.
I had a hearty chuckle there.
Me too. I have a request for a shout out to our own Dada.
Yeah.
Nick.
Nick Daddy Lusardo?
Nick Dad Lusardo.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, yes. Little
shout out to him. He actually has been requested that in the tradition of a faux pas, he now be known as the Fax Pope.
The Fax Pope?
Yeah.
Is he the Pope of Faxes?
He is, which is the leader of the Church of Faux Pas.
Which, by the way, another faux pas, faxing.
Oh, but only sometimes. I think scanning and emailing instead of faxing tends to be more of a faux pas.
It's too modern. It's too 2004.
It's a really big argument in the faux pas community.
Oh, absolutely.
So we'll play some music and then we'll come back. Think about those faux pas again, but
sit on them.
Think about how you can turn it into a vrai pas, because that's really the mark of an artist in the postmodern world, is being able to turn a faux pas into a vrai pas. Here's Joni Mitchell with the Canadian national anthem.
Yes.
Before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar, on the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light. I drew a map of Canada. Oh, Canada. With your face sketched on it twice. I would still be on my feet. I am a lonely painter. I live in a box of paint. Love is touching souls. Surely you touch mine, 'cause part of you pours out of me in these lines from time to time. Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. It tastes so bitter and so sweet. Oh, she said, go to him, stay with him if you can, but be prepared to bleed. Oh, but you are in my blood, you're my holy wine. You're so bitter, bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you. Still be on my feet.
out the way the babies haven't been born. Oh, 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 oh. Unpacking the bags and setting up and planting lilacs and buttercups. Oh, 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 oh. But in the meantime, I got it hard. Second floor living without a yard. It may be years until the day my dreams will match up with my pay.
Listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
We just need to do a PSA quickly. It'd be a real faux pas to not do the PSA.
Absolutely.
It'd be a faux PSA.
It's for your own good.
It really, really is. All right. Let's see.
What do we have on the docket today?
Pedestrian safety is a two-way street. Both drivers and walkers need to do their part to keep roads safe. When you're driving, drive at safe speeds, drive alert, and always scan the road and sidewalks ahead for pedestrians. It's the law to stop for pedestrians when they're crossing at both marked crosswalks and intersections. When you're walking, remember the drivers may not see you. Continue to watch for traffic as you cross. Always use crosswalks and obey all traffic signals. A life-saving message from your friends at WMFO in Medford. And a reminder from Tufts Aesthetics to pay attention to social signals.
Absolutely. Social cues, social signals, social flares.
Exactly. Because that's how you avoid a faux pas.
Absolutely.
Is following the social traffic laws.
And you know what? I encourage all of you out there, if you see a faux pas, report it. If you see something, say something.
You can tweet either at KVNNGN or at Helen Tweets to You. That's H-E-L-E-N, tweets, the number 2, the letter U. If you see a faux pas, tell us about it.
And we'll put it on air.
That we will. Also, stay tuned for our blog that will come eventually.
Yeah, follow us. It's great.
It'll be good. We promise.
We're really trying to develop some cultural capital here.
Exactly.
To further our own capitalist dreams.
Exactly.
Which is, in some ways, a faux pas, but not if you admit it openly on air.
Self-awareness is one of the best ways to deal with committing faux pas.
Exactly. You can, in some cases, avoid it altogether by just being open, just by being open and honest.
Paying attention to those social traffic signals.
Exactly. And you know what? Being basic is not necessarily a faux pas. Being basic and trying to avoid owning up to it is a faux pas.
Big time. One of the worst, I would say.
Owning your basicity, number one step.
Yes.
To avoiding faux pas.
Agreed.
So we've got about a minute left on our show. I just would like to wish everybody a happy Easter. Now that Lent's over, it's gotten really hard for us here at WMFO to really,
I'm missing
you know, do a lot of work. Yeah, ever since Lent's ended, you know, we've really been in a state of malaise around here. So we wish you guys a very, very Merry Christmas, Merry Easter, Merry Pak, and
Bon Pak.